Two game weeks down, it's time for a DEFCON chat, mainly because Sam's desperate for a defender. We discuss downgrading Saka and Palmer, debate a tricky captaincy, and we have our first Jules assist rant of the season. This is the first FPL podcast, I think, ever that Sam Bonfield has just admitted she didn't want to join. Hello, welcome back to the FPL pod. Kelly Summers, Julian Neron, and Sam with us. Go on, Sam, you can go first.
What happened, Sam?
Oh, I had an actual nightmare, guys.
I'd love to say I didn't notice, but I was tracking
I didn't notice. What happened?
Jules, now, no. Come on. You didn't notice. I think you might have noticed. It was just an absolute disaster. So on Friday night, obviously, I only had Cole Palmer in the Chelsea game. And I was already anxious about that anyway, because I was like, oh, I don't have a Chelsea defender, and West Ham haven't exactly looked like they're going to score loads of goals. So that's probably going to be problematic. And then I didn't have João Pedro, and obviously, you know, the highest owned player in the game. So I was thinking, now, if he goes off, this is going to be a disaster. So thankfully, I was on holiday and could just kind of try and ignore the fact that this was happening in the background. So when West Ham scored, I was like, oh, okay, maybe it's not going to be quite so bad as I thought. Maybe it will be okay. No, it wasn't. And that was a bit of a premonition for the rest of the weekend, where everything that could go wrong kind of did. The only thing that really went well for me is that I'd benched Mickey van der Ven. So thankfully, Cole Palmer was absent, because Mickey then comes off the bench for his six-pointer. So I was grateful of that. But everything else was pretty much a disaster. I had Dubravka in goal, so I was grateful to him. But Ait Nouri obviously went off injured, so a one-pointer for him. De Kuyper got a zero-pointer, even though he played in that one. Murillo lost his clean sheet, got one. Jude Hall did nothing, and I'm clearly on the wrong Everton asset there. So that was a problem. Kudus, nothing against Man City, even though Spurs won. And then Wirtz, nothing for him again. That's a bit frustrating. Salah, last minute. But Salah in the last minute with that assist was almost... it was almost worse, because I hadn't captained him. So the fact that he then did something had a negative impact on my rank. So that was fun. And then I'd captained Ollie Watkins, and I had Mateta instead of João Pedro. So pretty much as bad as it could get, Kels.
How many points? Because you haven't said the most important yet.
32. What? 32. That's just for Saturday's
game. How many points did you get on Sunday and Monday?
Jules, João Pedro got pretty much half the points of my whole
team. Try to refresh. Refresh the app. Maybe there's some points that have been lost somewhere. Just refresh it.
Do you know what? I cannot wait.
Or re-download it.
I cannot wait for Saturday at 11:30 when the game gets past its reboot mode, and I can just look at game week 3 and not have to look at game week 2 anymore.
I'm going to call you Magic Johnson now, because Magic Johnson was wearing number 32 when he was playing NBA. So now you're going to be Magic Johnson. Okay. Go on, Magic.
Do you know what? Like, so many people had difficult weeks, Sam. It's not just you. I mean, you just got really unlucky that you had every single player that had a disaster. The only thing is, your goalkeeper outscored my goalkeeper, if it makes you feel any better. You picked the right one.
I did pick the right goalkeeper. Yeah,
I'm clutching for you here.
Thanks, Kels. And to be fair, I should have just played Ronaldo over De Kuyper, but I don't know. I thought playing a Sunderland defender versus my Burnley goalkeeper felt a little bit ridiculous, so I went with De Kuyper instead. But yeah, it was just one of those weeks, wasn't it? And I think a lot of managers, like I was saying before we came on here, it was the first time ever doing these podcasts over the years that I was like, I really, really don't want to go today.
Oh.
However...
God, I've had many of those, Sam. Welcome to my world.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of FPL managers will be in the same boat as me this week, because it was a really, really difficult game
30
week.
30 points, I'm not sure.
Oh, Jules, they will. It was a really difficult game week.
Jules, go on. Talk us through your game week then, because we were quite similar in that we got in the 50s.
Yeah, first of all, I want to say I've got three children, but only two in the house, because the oldest one has gone to Paris to visit his girlfriend. But that's three and two, like Sam, basically. No, I got a few more points. Not that it was not a great week. I'm only teasing something, really. But 54, just above average. Dubravka, good in goal. Then I had decent defense once Van de Ven came in for Cole Palmer, of course, with 6 points. Mo Salah and Saka were the two that returned in midfield. Still nothing for Villa. Reinders had a terrible game, I thought, with City. And then up front, like Sam, I captain Ollie Watkins, thinking this could be good. And despite the decent expected goals, he's still blanked. And this Villa team is despairing me, really. So 4 points for him. And then João Pedro saved the day. Like, I think he saved the day of a lot of managers. So I was only teasing Sam, really. Mine is not much better.
One thing that we should say at this point, by the way, is, Jules, you did sell Ezri Konsa, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And I apologize for last week's show, because I really thought... it was a three-game ban.
Do you know what we all do? Yeah. Because
I should have noticed it. Sam should have noticed it. Like it was just an oversight. We get too excited on this pod sometimes and we made a mistake, didn't we?
Yeah, completely. So it was just a one match ban. So if you haven't sold him, I mean, I was kind of happy to sell him because I don't feel this Villa defense at all and this Villa team overall at the start of the season. Margay came and did really well for most of his game against Forest, apart from the goal. But I thought that was going to be a game without conceding a goal. But it was not to be. But still, yeah, for Konsa, it was just a one-match ban.
Yeah, it was a one-match ban. So he's back for this game week. But of course, with how Villa are playing, as you said, probably wasn't the worst thing in the world to sell your Villa assets. Okay, then let's check in on the FPL Pod Mini League. We've got a new leader at the summit. Jay Kingham and his team, Frimping Pong, have moved on like that from fifth last weekend. He played his free hit. He got 76 points. He captained Saka. He had a Stev 6 points off the bench for Palmer, and his defence did really well as well. He had Gabriel Tarkowski and Kukurea. He also had Jokeres, Semenyo, and Joao Pedro. He basically had everyone that Sam didn't. It's actually back-to-back chips for Jay. As he bench boosted in game week one, he always sits 53rd in the world at this early stage. We've got a tie for second place at the moment. We've got Witty Blings, who got 85 points, and Daniel Larson ended game week one in 83rd, and he rose 81 places, so he now sits third. He captained Jokeres, that was a bold move, and he even had Jack Grealish in his team for his debut, a couple of assists that he got for Everton. Reminder, if you haven't joined our mini league yet, our code is XY6XPL. Okay, then, very shortly, we are going to talk about the injuries and bans in game week two and the best replacements. But before we do that, let's actually take a look at the defensive contributions, because Sam, it was something we spoke about a lot pre the season. It was something new to us, something that maybe altered our way of thinking a lot. But actually, I've been quite surprised at the amount of DEFCON points we've seen given already. It's changing the way I almost watch football in the Premier League.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we were all expecting some players to get defensive contribution points across the weekend, but I don't think we were expecting there to be quite so many in each game. Like, you know, I look at Brentford this week, who had six players get defensive contribution points in their game at the weekend. That's massive. And when you think that, you know, okay, it's 2 points, so it's not going to, you know, change everything about the way that you're playing, but it is important. And I think, you know, particularly when you're talking about your cheaper assets, those additional 2 points here and there make the world of difference in terms of how a game week goes for you. So yeah, I think we weren't probably expecting the impact that it's had so far, and maybe it calms down a little bit when we get into the more regular, maybe more normal weeks of the season, I guess, where there's less goal threat and maybe there's a few more clean sheets around. But certainly at the moment, it's having a massive impact.
Yeah, so far we've had 33 defenders get DEFCON or hit the DEFCON kind of threshold, shall we say, in game week one, and 18 in game week two. And there's a couple actually that have already hit twice already, Virgil van Dijk and Tarkowski. We did probably expect that given the fact that we knew last season they would have got it. But also Lacroix, Senesi, Vanderberg and De Ligt have both got it in the opening weeks as well. Jules, when you were looking at your replacement for Konsa and when you're looking at other defenders potentially, are you taking these kind of things into consideration?
Yeah, I think you should be, really. And it also depends on the fixture coming. If it's a very dominant team or a very good team and they have a lot of the ball, it's less likely that if the opposition team doesn't attack that much, that they would get to that number. But if you think about it, for a defender, really, it's not, it shouldn't, whatever defender, and that's why I think there have been so many, it's not too hard, really, to get to the threshold that you mentioned to get those points. It's not like if they had to do, I don't know, 50 interception tackles or blocks all in one game. So if you think about it, over 90 minutes, because usually those guys play the whole 90 minutes too, it's really rare that you have center backs being replaced after an hour or 70 minutes, unless there's an injury. But if there's not, they usually play the whole game. So in 90 minutes, really, this is something that a lot of them should be able to achieve. And like Sam said, Brentford, for example, on a really good game where their game is a lot about intensity, a lot of players get there. So I think it's really interesting. There's still some things that are quite interesting in the sense that Virgil van Dijk, for example, has been terrible in the game, like the Liverpool defense so far this season. And what would save him just about it is those DEFCON points. But apart from that, it's just not, hasn't been good enough for somebody who is one of the most expensive defenders in the game. So it's not just looking at those numbers saying, okay, yeah, Van Dijk can hit those DEFCON, but the rest hasn't been good enough. The day that Liverpool would be better defensively and Van Dijk keeps getting clean sheets, then it changes slightly the dynamic, because from 6 points, you go to eight, at least without the bonus points. And that makes a big difference. But if Ronda gets 1 point or 2 points, I guess you get to four, but that's still not maybe as good as somebody that would get a clean sheet like Tarkowski at the weekend, plus the DEFCON points. That makes a massive difference.
Yeah, no clean sheets so far for Virgil, as you said, not been the best Liverpool defensively, but for DEFCON. Sam, are there any other names on there that kind of have jumped out to you, perhaps surprised you in the opening weeks, or maybe changed the way you think about them?
I think there's been a few. I mean, I think for me, the really interesting thing, and when I've been looking at DEFCON, because obviously I've got Ait Nouri in my team who looks like I'm going to need a replacement for. So I've been looking at defenders a lot this week whilst trying to ignore my team sitting there with its 32 points. So I've been looking at that a lot, and I've kind of found it really fascinating, because like there's some teams like Spurs who have had very, very little DEFCON points so far this season. Only Romero's picked up 2 DEFCON points, but yet they're doing incredibly well for points because they're keeping clean sheets. So Poro's on 11, Van de Ven and Spence are on 12, and then Romero's on 13. So I'm trying to balance that and the fact that you've got some teams that are doing incredibly well defensively and have been really solid, but there's been no real DEFCON. And it's similar for Arsenal as well, against the teams that aren't necessarily keeping clean sheets all the time, but we are seeing the DEFCON points. So like when I'm looking at replacements, because I've already got a Spurs defender, I don't want another one. I'm pondering, therefore, do I go for Arsenal? Because whilst I'm not really seeing the DEFCON there, I am seeing plenty of good defensive security, as we always do with that Arsenal defence. But then there's also players like the Crystal Palace ones, like Lacroix, who I'm kind of really interested in potentially going for. But then you have to weigh that up against the fact that Daniel Munoz is also there, not getting as many DEFCON points, not necessarily stacking them, but has the attacking threat. So you have to kind of balance these two different factors, because whilst the attacking threat is what we've always traditionally looked for in a defender, you don't get them very often with the defensive players. So you might get the +4 once every 3 or 4 weeks, maybe. But actually with the defensive contributions, if you get it right, you could be getting them every week, and that would therefore equal more points over the course of a 4-game week period. So I'm looking at Lacroix, but I'm also thinking about Munoz. I'm looking at Tarkowski, because I just think we can't really overlook that. And the Everton fixtures now actually do look relatively decent over the next few weeks, and maybe we see more clean sheets. I'm kind of intrigued by Nathan Collins at Brentford as well. I prefer the fixtures for Brentford now, and I was encouraged by what I saw from them against Aston Villa at the weekend. I'm not completely certain that I'm not completely sold there either. And then there's the Newcastle defence, who Dan Burn did well for DEFCON in game week 2. But then we've got the Shaw injury and the concussion substitution for him, which maybe unsettles the back line. The fact that they had injuries to Joe Linton and...
Tonali.
Yeah, Tonali. So there were so many issues then, and obviously the Gordon red card, that maybe I want to avoid them altogether. So it's that balancing act between the ones that I think will do well for DEFCON versus the ones I think will keep clean sheets. Mm. And then the ones I want, who I think might get attacking returns. And ideally you want the players that sit in the middle of that little group who maybe have all three of them, and it's working out who those players are in these early weeks.
All it's done for me, I think, is when I'm looking at defenders, it's kind of just expanded the pool a tiny bit. Yeah. Whereas before it's just like, just either you're either attacking fullbacks or you're ones that are likely to get clean sheets. It's just opened the pool, hasn't it, for a few more. And it's kind of the same case with midfield, because we've said it in earlier pods, it's just changed the way we think about our defensive midfielders, I think, really. For the first time ever, we're looking at them and we're thinking, actually, they could be good value for money. With midfielders, that's a little bit different, because the DEFCON have been different in game week 1 and game week 2. Wefa is the only midfielder who's got 4 DEFCON points. And I think we all got a little bit excited, like with Caicedo scoring last weekend, for example. I was at work and someone there who'd never played fantasy before had picked Caicedo. And I like joked that it was a stroke of luck, but people will have picked him because of DEFCON. Are we considering it as much with midfielders though, Jules?
Yeah. I think we should look at it as well. But what's interesting is that we thought Elliot Anderson at Forest, who would have done really well last season if we had counted those DEFCON points. But this season so far, he's not there. I mean, Wiffer is there, but he plays right back. So he's a midfielder that plays right back for Brighton. I was at the game. Yeah.
that's a good point.
On Sunday at Everton, where he struggled against Jack Grealish. But yeah, because he's in that position, it's easier for him to get to those points than maybe if he was playing in midfield properly like Caicedo or Anderson. What I find really interesting in them, and that's where you kind of change maybe your mindset about it, is that there's four attacking midfielders in those list of DEFCON players, because you would associate those points with defensive midfielders like the ones we mentioned. But actually for Odegaard, for Ouattara, Brentford, who actually played up front.
Yeah, Ouattara's a, yeah, that's an interesting one.
It's a fascinating because the guy played as a second, like they played with two up front with him and Thiago, and then he still got those defensive comp points, which is amazing, really. Tavernier and Damsgaard are the other. So Damsgaard and Brentford, we've, Sam explained it very well earlier. But for Odegaard, I guess because of the activity, and especially for Ouattara, it's quite remarkable. So if you can have a forward or an attacking midfielder that also brings you some defensive contribution points, then hello, this is brilliant.
Maybe tells you a bit about how Brentford are playing.
Yeah, true.
Getting DEFCON points.
Yeah.
No, they were pretty impressive against Aston Villa, but maybe that was more on Villa as well. Fixture, Sam, when you're looking at DEFCON, how important is that? Because surely if they're playing a team that are going to attack loads, they're more likely to get DEFCON points. I mean, I'm simplifying it there, but that's what it comes down to, isn't it?
Yeah. So weirdly, it's the opposite.
I like to simplify things.
Yeah, no, but you're right. And I think weirdly, it's the opposite for clean sheets. So normally you look at clean sheets and you look at the fixtures and you go, right, the easier the fixture, the more chance they're going to have of getting a clean sheet. With DEFCON, you almost want to go, okay, I want a team that's going to attack a lot. So a team that's really going to be focused in on attacking. Now that in some ways can be often at the beginning, the newly promoted sides, because they don't so much rely on their defence and they will go out and attack, because attack is the best form of defence in some cases. But for a lot of teams, it's the ones that have got really good attacking threat that means that you're more likely to see the DEFCON points from the other teams that they're facing, because obviously they're going to have to do more defensive work across the course of that game. So yeah, there's a weird juxtaposition there between the defensive contributions and the potential for clean sheets. And you ideally want to find that middle ground that says, well, I'm likely to get both. But it's difficult to find that often, because if you're going to get DEFCON, then you need the opposition to attack you. And therefore, that obviously opens up the opportunities for the opposition to score, which is maybe what we've been seeing with Virgil, to be honest. Like, we've been seeing that he's been getting the DEFCON because the teams that he's faced in Bournemouth and Newcastle have come and attacked. But they've also, because they've come and attacked, scored goals, and therefore he's lost the clean sheet. So there is a bit of a balance to be had there. But the fixture does seem to be quite important for DEFCON, for sure.
Okay, let's move on, because DEFCON is something that's fascinating us, and maybe we have to look into a little bit more. One thing we don't have to look into is when we look at our team, seeing the red flags, seeing the lack of points for the popular players as well. I'm looking at you, Ollie Watkins. Actually, I haven't hammered you. Well, mind you, I captained Mo Salah. That didn't go.
That was the best captain of the weekend, though, pretty much, unless she got into Pedro.
Yeah.
At the end again, though, saving me right at the end. Like, I thought it was going to be very similar, but my point is, when we're looking at our teams at the moment, we're either tearing our hair out like Sam, or we're all a little bit disappointed with some of the players that we thought we were going to be good with. Let's start with the injuries. Actually, no, Sam, I want to ask a question first. Mm-hmm. What is the threshold for a wild card? Because I'm hearing a lot of people, were you tempted? I half wondered if you'd come on here and say you're wild carding, but I'm probably thinking that the reason you're not is because it's international break next week.
I'm very, 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 very tempted, because there's so many players that I really don't like in my team at the moment.
You didn't mention it.
I haven't mentioned it. If we'd have recorded this podcast on Monday, I'd have said I think I'm quite likely to hit the button. However, over the course of the week, I've kind of calmed down with it, and I look at it and I've got two free transfers because I didn't make one coming out of game week one. So I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, well, reacting now is probably not the right thing to do. I'm probably best to use my two free transfers to deal with the flags that I have in my team. Give it one more week, and then over the international break, I can assess whether it's the right moment to hit the wild card or not, because it gets me past the Arsenal versus Liverpool game, which I don't feel like I want to be more heavily invested in than I already am. And then it gives me the opportunity to look towards the fixture swing for both Arsenal and Manchester City, and maybe invest just a little bit earlier than I was planning to with those two teams. So for me, if you're looking at your team and there's like five or six players that you think I definitely want rid, that's the number where I then start to think about whether I should wildcard or not. But with two free transfers, and actually the fact that I can I'm looking at my team and I don't mind it again for this week. It looks okay for this week, apart from...
I felt like that every week. And it
I mean, last week, to be fair, I looked at my team for last week and I was really happy with it. I was like, this is going to be a really good week.
It never goes well when you feel like that, does it?
No. Whereas this week I look at it and I go, okay, there's a few things I don't like about it, but I think I can play through this week and be okay with a couple of transfers. So yeah, I think if you're looking at it and you've got five or six issues and you've got multiple flags and maybe you've already used a transfer and you only have one going into this week, then's the moment. But if you can get to next week in the international break, that feels like a more sensible play.
Jules, what about you? Have you considered it at all?
Yeah, no, I looked at it. I think there's a few people who also play the game that I know who are in my mini leagues who are playing it. I think it's quite tempting, especially now that we've got the second one coming on later. I agree with everything Sam just said. It depends really where your team is at, because they are, as we've been saying last week, there's still players that you could give a bit of time to, not too much. But like a Florian Wirtz, obviously needs a bit of time still to adapt to Liverpool. We thought he would do better by now, but he still hasn't really clicked for him. But he might well click on Sunday.
How long do we give him though, Jules?
I know, but probably this weekend. I don't know. It's a tough game. Super, super tough game. But I think he's probably worth giving him another week. Same for Watkins, who will be at home to Crystal Palace. And again, that's not going to be easy.
Oh, my patience is running.
No, I know, but then patience is running thing about a lot of the players. And but you can't change everybody unless you play your wildcard Nikels, which is also a possibility. But I just think there's still some players that probably deserves just one more week, and then we see, and there's international break.
By the way, Jules mentioned then, he said, especially since we've got the second wildcard, don't be lured in, guys. It's still the same number of wildcards as last season, of course. I don't think we're getting an extra one, but you've got more chips, haven't we?
That's why.
No, it's all right. I just wanted to clarify if people thought we were getting another wildcard.
I feel like we might need an extra one.
Yeah, maybe we can call it the Sam Bonfield wildcard.
Magic Johnson.
Okay, let's go back then to some. Let's go back to some of the injuries then that are causing us a few headaches to some of the commonly owned players. Cole Palmer got injured in the warm-up of Chelsea's victory against West Ham. The one saving grace from this was at least he got injured in the warm-up and not a minute in or something like that. Like, we don't want to see any player get injured, but let's be honest, loads of us had a Spurs player as our first sub, so it could have been a lot worse. Maresca later said he felt something in his, I think it was his groin, wasn't it? But it doesn't sound like it's going to be incredibly long term, but we just don't really know, do we, Jules?
No, we don't. I mean, his face on the bench looked so...
Think how many goals he could have got.
Yeah, and frustrated and angry, like not to be able to play. I don't know. Groin can be very difficult to... It can take you a long time. This didn't seem that serious either from Maresca. And it's a big game at the weekend. Of course, it's the Southwest London derby against Fulham. So I think they will probably want him back for that. Although João Pedro did really well in the Cole Palmer position, which is probably his best position too, let's be honest here, behind Liam Delap. So I'll risk it personally, and I would keep Palmer and I'll put him in the team because I think there's a chance that he would be ready for it.
Sam, are you going to risk it?
Don't think so. I think I'm going to sell.
It's a lot of money, isn't it, to not have a player play him?
Yeah, because also it's international break next week. So does Maresca just think, right, well, let's not risk him for the Fulham game at the weekend, and then he's got a couple more weeks to recover fully ahead of game week four, depending upon whether, of course, he goes away on international duty with England or not. And if it's a risk, then I would assume that he wouldn't go, and therefore maybe not playing him in three is a good opportunity to give him a bit of a rest and make sure that groin is okay, because Maresca did also say that he'd been feeling it before. I also haven't been impressed with Palmer the opening 2 weeks, and I think he's got one open play goal since January for Chelsea. So it's not like he's in really good form. And the opening 2 weeks he's been okay, but quite frankly, a bit disappointing for 10.5 million. So I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay. And to be honest, on Saturday morning, when we were talking about what had happened the night before with the Chelsea game, I was like, oh, maybe I'll just go for Saka a bit early then. It's an easy sell. And then, of course, we saw an injury to Saka as well. So that kind of throws it. And I think that for me is maybe why some people will keep Palmer, because there isn't that natural come down to Saka anymore. There are others. I'm just thinking about going massively cheaper and having a load of money in the bank, which maybe I can then use to upgrade somewhere else, because I just wasn't feeling the love for Palmer anyway. But obviously it was West Ham, whereas Chelsea against Fulham is going to be a much more difficult game anyway.
Who are you thinking then that you bring in for him?
Well, there's a couple of options. Manchester United are high on the potential radar because of the fixture that they have this weekend. So I have been
Despite what happened on Wednesday night?
Well, indeed. So I was like, well, maybe I... So my original thought was I won't go for Bruno Fernandes and instead I'll go for Cunha because I was impressed by Cunha's performance at the weekend. However, Cunha starting in the League Cup in midweek also put me off. And the fact that he then has to play the full 90 minutes and it goes to, I mean, thankfully it's not extra time anymore, but he goes to a penalty shootout and he takes a penalty that he then misses kind of puts me off. The fact that Manchester United just didn't look great and they had to play, you know, bring on all the superstars in order to try and get through against Grimsby has kind of put me off slightly. There are other players though that I think... in that, like, I could drop right down to another 6.5 and it frees up 4 million. And 4 million wow. gets me very close to having Haaland in my team without much change.
That's something that we can think about with this, isn't it? Yeah. Redistributing yeah. the funds, even if you're not going to use them this week.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, is just because it's very easy when you're selling a premium player to go, right, I've got 10.5 million, I have to spend it. Whereas actually... you don't have to spend it, not on that position. You could, I mean, you could take 4 million out and just leave it in the bank until the week after if you wanted to. Or you can take that 4 million out and use your other sub if you have one, or even if it's a minus four, you could redistribute that money elsewhere. Like, I've got 2 free transfers. I am looking at my team going, could mini wildcard here and deal with a load of my issues and give myself some really, really good options up front. Whereas at the moment, I hate my forward line.
Okay, so a lot of us, well... particularly myself, because as you know, I wanted Saka earlier in pre-season. My plan was at some point I expected Palmer to go to Saka. When I saw that injury to Palmer on Friday night, I thought, perfect. Saka will probably be brilliant against Leeds, get returns. He did that. What I didn't bargain for was the injury to him. Julian Neron, you are an owner of Saka already. What are you going to do?
Yeah. I think he won't be out for long and there's international break where he's not going to play for England to rest. So I think he could well be back after the international break. And Palmer, I agree with Sam. Like I said, I would probably risk him for this weekend. But then it's not really part of the long-term plan where Saka is. So I would be very reluctant to let Saka go. And if I had to sell one this weekend, for example, it would be Palmer and keep Saka on the bench until he comes back for after the international break, maybe not straight after, but the game after. So he might miss one game, maybe two. And I think that's okay if you have him. And if you don't want to let him go, because you will have to bring him back at some point, because I expect him to be good this season. So, but you can look at like exactly what Sam said, you know, Semenyo is much cheaper, obviously, and has having an amazing start of this season, for example. And you could look at Gakpo, who we mentioned already in last week's show, who did very well so far this season with Liverpool, even Dan Endoy at Forest, who started really well. I think he's got 9 points and 7 points in the first two game weeks. Very good. Brennan Johnson, the king of tap-ins, but he's always there at the right time at the right place. So, you know, why not investing in him too? And those players will save you a lot of money compared to a Palmer or a Saka. So it's not like if you didn't have any options and you thought, okay, well, I have to keep them because the rest, I don't really fancy it. There's actually a lot of really good options, whether you go to those 7.2 because Semenyo already had 2 price rises, or Gakpo at 7.6, Johnson 7.1, or Endoy at 6, or 6.5 in between somewhere, or like a Cunha, like Sam said.
Jack Grealish
maybe, although
is he on your radar
that second
now?
Assist, I mean, oh, I thought assist
3 weeks in and we've got an assist complaint already.
Changed. I thought you said, Sam, that the way they
Sam doesn't make the rules, by the way. Or decide assist.
It has.
Just to clarify.
It has to be. It's going to be an assist unless there's 2 defensive touches between the ball being played in.
Learn the rules, Jules.
So
a
it doesn't
1 yard
matter.
Pass.
It doesn't matter.
But it's
whether
a pass
it's a 1 yard
pass. Nowhere near like an assist, really.
Right, it's wasting
has to do
valuable
anyway.
Time.
Jules, with Saka, just going back to him for a minute, even if he's out for 2 weeks, though, like, surely at some point in the next few weeks, you're planning to wildcard, be it now or in ahead of game week 7, when like, so I guess for a lot of people out there, they'll look at that and go, well, I just sell him now and then I'll bring him back in again for 7. Like, is there not a part of you that thinks keeping 10 on the bench?
I think I looked at the fixtures. You missed two really good fixtures then for Saka. Oh, unless you play the wild card a bit earlier, then as you know, I like playing in the October half term. Too many holidays, too many kids. October international break. But yeah, then it's just about just managing why he misses and why he would play if you kept him, what he would miss and what, you know, when you can bring him back and what kind of games he would play if you bring him back on a wild card, which is, yeah, you're right, very possible. I'm just a bit, yeah, reluctant.
Because it's Liverpool next, obviously, at the weekend. Then game week four is Nottingham Forest, who, you know, that's not an easy game.
No,
And then after that, it's Manchester City and Newcastle.
Yeah.
So, and then it changes in seven and it's West Ham, Fulham, Palace, Burnley, Sunderland. So in my head, if I had an Arsenal player and if I had Saka right now, I'd be like, right, well, if he's out for the next two, say he misses Liverpool and Forest, and then he's back for Man City and Newcastle, I'm not that bothered about having him back for Man City and Newcastle. So I'll sell him. And then when I hit the wild card in and around game week seven, which by the way is about, is just before the international break, then that, to me, that feels like a sensible play. Now, I agree with what you said. If you've got Palmer and Saka, you're probably not going to sell them both this week unless you've got two free transfers and you only have one.
Yes.
Right? So that makes sense. But I think if you've got two free transfers and you've got Saka, I would sell, because then you can wait until he's back. And also by the time he's back, you can make a decision as to whether it's him or your Jokeres that you actually want in your team.
Yeah,
he's considering it. Sam, just you mentioned Grealish before Jules went nuts again about his assist. Don't... Jules, you're not allowed to speak during this section.
Okay. Mute him.
I just wondered what your thoughts were on him and his kind of that felt like his announcement to the Everton fans.
It did massively. And it felt like the Jack Grealish of Aston Villa. Mm. Like it felt like we had the old Grealish back, where he had this kind of free flowing swagger about him. And it was really nice to see. I think for me, I'm on Dewsbury Hall from Everton and I was hoping he was going to play in this really advanced number 10 position and be on set pieces and all of this stuff. And it's become increasingly clear in game weeks one and two that that's just not what's going to happen with Dewsbury Hall. And he's also not picking up DEFCON points either. So ideally, he would go. And one of the things I have considered, because I do like the Everton fixtures, is swapping him for Grealish, because he's not that much more money. We have that attacking threat with him. And, you know, I think he's one of those players where you will regularly get attacking returns out of him. How many you get across that Everton team remains to be seen, because it was very nervy that first sort of 20 odd minutes of that game. New stadium pressure. They wanted to be the first team to score the goal at the Hill Dickinson and all of that jazz. But after that, I was really impressed by Everton. So Grealish is definitely on my radar. I don't think I'll go there right now. But in the future, he's a player that I'm kind of thinking, because with my team structure the way that it is at the moment, I've got Guiyu up top, who I'm not going to play realistically. He's going to sit on the bench every week, which means I have to play the rest of my front. The rest of them have to play every single week. And Dewsbury Hall isn't a player I want to be playing every week. So if I take some money out of Cole Palmer, that would give me the money I need to bring up Dewsbury Hall to somebody different. And Grealish is definitely on the radar for that.
You've already mentioned briefly your defenders and who are you thinking of defensively, just to clarify that.
So I very, very nearly last night did Ait Nouri to Munoz, and in the end I didn't, because I got a 0.1 rise out of Ait Nouri in game week one when he performed incredibly well. So his price drop was going to bring him back to six. I wasn't going to lose anything, so I decided to wait.
Just to clarify for people, if they don't fully understand the prices, it has to rise by 0.2 for you to gain any money when selling. Sorry, that's just for our newer listeners. I know we know that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So there was nothing for me to gain or lose in his price drop last night. So I was like, okay, well, we'll let that one slide, because I value the press conferences a lot and what the managers have got to say. Don't love the Palace fixture for this weekend, but I really like the Palace fixtures that follow. So Munoz or Lacroix, one of the two of them probably are going to come in. The sensible part of my brain just says, just go for Tarkowski, because you're going to pick up DEFCON points every single week.
You know
week.
What you're getting.
I know what I'm going to get. There might be some clean sheets in there, but I'm probably going to get four every week. And four every week actually feels quite nice. So probably one of them. I just wanted a bit more thinking time. The other option is I just go all in on Arsenal. But as I just said about those fixtures, they've been so solid so far in the opening 2 weeks. But do I really see clean sheets against Liverpool and Manchester City? Maybe not. So maybe I just wait a little bit longer for one of those and get them in on a wild card. But yeah, Palace or Everton probably feels like the way I'm going to go.
And just to confirm that, because we've got so many other headaches in our team, we're not even really going to talk about forwards. We're all just sticking with our forwards for now, correct, Jules?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going on with Aston Villa. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Aston Villa, but they were terrible again on last weekend and on game week two.
They were terrible.
Yeah, terrible. I mean, Ollie Watkins' XG is 0.37, so it was not that bad. He clearly could have scored, but didn't. He's clearly that there's something wrong there in that team. They're back home this weekend against Crystal Palace. We mentioned that already at Villa Park, a Crystal Palace team that, even if they drew their first two games against Chelsea and then Forest at home last weekend, have been great. They've played the Community Shield. They're super fit because they had to be ready early. Yeah, I'm not sure at all about Villa. Not just Watkins, but also Rodgers, who you have, the defence, Martinez, just everywhere. I think it's pretty messy from a Villa point of view.
A bit like my actual FPL team, Jones.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Magic Johnson. Exactly. 3-2.
Here we go. You've been challenging Urina Unai, haven't you, Sam?
Yeah, I am.
So, yeah, just remind us, your forwards are Watkins, Mateta and Guiu. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. Yeah. And because I was on the continent at the weekend, I had the pleasure
on
of...
On the continent?
I haven't heard that expression for 20 years.
But because of holidays, I could watch the 3 o'clock game on Saturday. So I sat and I watched Ollie Watkins because he was my captain. So I watched Spurs and I was like, this is great. I'm having a great day. Van der Ven's coming off my bench. Spurs have won. I was very happy. And then comes into the next game and I'm like, okay, Brentford and Villa. Brentford were terrible last week. So surely Ollie Watkins going to do well. No, he did not. It was awful. Like his performance to the point where I actually wanted to rage transfer him out while I was watching the game. I was that annoyed. And in the end, the other flags in my team are going to cause me more issues and he's going to have to stay. So that's, and I think a lot of managers are going to end up in the same
boat. Like that, I agree.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He doesn't have an injury, he doesn't have a suspension, no. Therefore he needs to fight another day, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, then let's move on to differential of the week. A reminder, a differential is a player owned by under 10%.
I love a good differential, I'll tell
you that. Chilin Leron won last week. It really has been a bad week for Sam. You went with Gakpo, 2 assists for him and 2 bonus, 10 points, double digits, lovely. Sam,
Thank you very much. I shake your hands,
Rodgers.
This was another problem as well, watching that game.
Go on then, John. What have we gone for?
It was a great pick, Sam. I mean, I've got
two or three. I'm trying to move us on, Sam.
Week.
I'm really trying to move him on quickly.
Thanks, Kelly. No, yeah. I appreciate you.
He's annoying me now, and it wasn't even me that had a bad week.
But I will go for, I don't know which one to pick. They're winners. I only
just pick
winners.
One. Yeah, you've only got one on your piece of paper.
You
stop
pretending.
No, I've got two. I swear
no,
I've
haven't.
Got two. You
There's
can't
no
see.
Way that on the week you get to go first, you've picked two.
I've got two. But I will pick Dongo Ouattara. We mentioned him already because of this incredible DEFCON points that he got despite playing as a forward, because they played with two up front, Brentford, in that game against Aston Villa, where he scored, just arrived from Bournemouth for quite a lot of money as well. So it was great for him. Confidence is high. And he goes away at Sunderland, which were good in the first game at home, not very good in the second game away at Burnley. But I think that could be a good game because Sunderland will play. And I think for Brentford, this is good to go again and go back-to-back wins. It's very interesting to see that he plays in that front two, and he will be the most mobile of the front two as well. It costs you 6 million. He's only owned by 0.7% of them. So massive, massive differential in Ouattara there. And he got 13 points at the weekend. So, that's my guy.
Sam? Yeah, I like that one. He was my backup. So that does mean I get my first choice. He was my backup. So that means I can have my first choice, who is Morgan Gibbs-White.
I thought you were going to get Morgan Rodgers again. I was like,
no,
what?
Gosh, no. Morgan Rodgers, we've fallen out. But I'm sticking with the Morgan theme and going for Gibbs-White this week. So he'll cost you 7.5 million and he's owned by 5.6% of the game. So a little bit more than Dango's 0.7, but nonetheless, still a differential. He faces West Ham this week, and that's part of the reason for picking him. Obviously gets an assist in game week one. So far this season, he's had 4 attempts on goal, which is the most at Nottingham Forest, level with Chris Wood. He's also top for chances created there with 4, and he's supplied 4 crosses, of which 3 of them have been successful. He's also top for expected assists at Forest, and he, apart from Chris Wood, is top for XG and XGI. So Chris Wood just beats him in those two. But I think Forest are likely to score goals in this one because we've seen that West Ham are really struggling defensively at the moment. So I can see a good performance from Forest incoming. And Gibbs-White feels like somebody that's going to be important as they're scoring goals. So he'll be my diff this week.
Okay, then let's discuss captaincy, because you two did so well last week. We thought we'd ask for your expert advice. I'm only smug because I beat you on captaincy for once. But
maybe
as I said, you should
tell us who you're going to captain, Kels, because you are the expert.
It's currently on João Pedro. No, I'm not going on you. It's currently on João Pedro, but I don't think it will stay there. I think it's tough because with Mo Salah having Arsenal at home, Mo Salah hasn't been in the best form. He's not. Yeah. He's left it late in both games. Can he do it again? You'd never write Salah off. Pedro, I'm probably being kind of influenced by the fact that he got that big haul last weekend. They're at home. As you said, I like the position he's playing in the absence of Palmer as well. I think that benefits him. But also, I think it's also just, I don't trust my Villa assets. I've got two Villa attackers. I don't want to go with Wirtz yet because he hasn't done anything. Palmer's injured. I haven't done a sub yet. And I'm not going to go Reinders. I'm not going to go for Mark Giu, am I? So,
yeah,
that's all my attack. That's the situation I'm in at the moment. What are you thinking, Sam?
It's on Kudus at the minute.
I mean,
because Kels, I'm in the same position. So I look at my team and I go, I don't trust Watkins. So because he's the obvious captain, is most expensive bar Salah and Palmer. Mateta, I don't have the João Pedro option. I've got Mateta, who could do really well against Villa, to be fair. So he is an option, but we haven't really seen that brilliant Mateta yet so far this season. So it puts me off him. Then I look at the rest of my midfield, Salah and Wirtz against Arsenal. I don't know how I feel about that. Obviously, Palmer's out. So whoever comes in for Palmer is possibly a captaincy option. If I bring in Bruno Fernandes, which might be the transfer that I make this week, Palmer to Bruno, then I'll be tempted to hand him the armband at home against Burnley. Like, that feels like a sensible captaincy pick. I suspect that Kudus will be a bit more attacking, which is why in my team right now, I feel like he is my best attacking asset because I'm also not going to give it to Jude Hall, and I don't really want to give it to a defender. But I don't really love the fact that of all of my attackers, I'm going to captain my 6.5 million one. That seems bonkers.
Goes back to what we were saying before, though, like the likes of Semenyo and that, providing your points, doesn't matter about that price. Jules, who are you thinking?
It's on João Pedro for now. I mean,
feel quite right, though, does it? I don't know why.
You're right. But then Watkins at home to Crystal Palace could be a good pick. But no, again, exactly. And not in the form that he is and his team is at the moment. So I think I'll leave it on João Pedro unless I bring somebody in for Palmer. And then, like Sam just said, that could be, you know, whoever that is, that could be an option as well.
Okay, so just to confirm transfers then, Sam, you're likely to do 8 Nouri to a Palace defender.
I think so. I think I'm going to do 8 Nouri to Munoz, and then it's where Palmer goes. It's either going to be Palmer to Bruno Fernandes or Cunha, or it'll be Bruno Fernandes to Morgan Gibbs-White.
Jules, your transfers, or are you holding this week?
I don't know. I really don't know. I thought let's put Saka on the bench and Rhys Palmer starting, and then Sam just messed my head completely. So
that's why I'm here. Know.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe Palmer will go, and then I keep Saka for now because I only have one free transfer anyway, and I don't want to start getting -4. Although even with the -4, I still have more points than Sam. So.
Not this week, Jules.
We've got a 20-point lead over here at the moment. I'm going to enjoy that because it won't last. Yes, don't worry, Sam. You've got plenty of opportunities to get your revenge throughout the season. And the good news, you can go now. We've finished.
You sure don't want to stay a bit longer?
You got through it. You got
through it. Sure, the Lakers are playing tonight, by the way. They've got friendly.
I'll make sure I watch.
Yeah. Okay, that's enough from you two. I'm just going to try and end this podcast if I can. A reminder then, it's a Saturday deadline ahead of the early kickoff in the Premier League. The Fantasy Show will be back on Friday. Oscar and Harry in the studio with me off the bench. We'll also be back on your podcast feed at the start of next week. And we'll be back, as always, on Thursday. Sam, good news for you. You're free. Bye.
Yay!